Well, you can guys find yourself to Ephesians. We're going to be in Ephesians. We've been going through the book of Ephesians. Just to recap real quick, the first part is about what Christ has done, what he's done for us, what he's done in the cross. And now it's also who we are in Christ, he points to. And now we're going into chapter 4, which we went in last week, the first six verses. But then we're going to be going into the next probably 7 to 24 today. Of Ephesians. And so this part is the practical application to now that we have been born again, now that Christ now lives and reigns in us and we have a new identity, a new destination, how are we to live? And we are to live that out. And so that's what we're going to go into today. So just get to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7, and I'll open up in prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for bringing us together today. Lord, we need you. Lord, we can't live this life without you. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that empowers us. We thank you for the blood of Christ that forgives us and cleanses us and makes us clean. Lord, we thank you for your righteousness that makes us right before you, Father, and that we can live out this life and just display who you are in us, Lord, by your Spirit and just following you. So, Lord, we just ask that you'd open our eyes today, speak to each one of us on what you want to speak to us, and Lord, that you take us deep into our relationship with you deeper. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word today. Open it up to us. Take us deep in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we went through last week, or not last week, I think 3 weeks ago, we went through Ephesians chapter 4, 1 to 6. And that was, we could categorize that maybe by unity, what we have in common in unity. What's the things we have in common in Christ? And now we're going to go in from 7 to 16, we're going to be going on unity and diversity. So what does it look like to be diverse, but yet have unity? And we're going to see that that unity comes from Christ as well. Let's open up and we'll just read it, and then we'll break it open. Ephesians 4, 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he may fulfill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the fullness, stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should be no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together from what every joint supplies according to the effective working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk in the rest of the as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Christ, or in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So as we're going to see, Christ is going to give, he gives gifts. Verse 7, he says, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible, there's some by the window over there. Feel free to grab one. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Christ gives each one of us a gift. The greatest gift of all is eternal life. He gives us new life. He takes us from our old, stain-filled, guilty, shameful life, and he gives us a whole new life, an eternal life, which is to know Christ. Verse 8, it says, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. He is bringing to light Christ's incarnation into this life, death, and resurrection in which he gives. He gave gifts to men. Now, these, when he says when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. Sin captivates us. Sin brings captivity to our lives. It brings us in bondage. Jesus Christ, he came to set the captives free. So when Jesus Christ ascended, when he died and he ascended, he led captivity captive. He led the very thing that was killing us and keeping us captive. He led that away captive. And in that, he gave gifts to men. And again, the greatest gift of that is eternal life. You know, John says, this is eternal life, that you may know me, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. So the greatest gift of it all is eternal life. But really, the what he's going to expound on here, the gift is actually those in the body of Christ that are ordained to offices, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher. And we're going to get into that. So he's going to go into that. But we've all, within the body of Christ, have been given at least one gift. We all have at least one gift that we can use. And just like fruit, the gifts aren't for us. The gifts are for the edifying of the body. They're for building up one another, for edifying one another. Fruit on a fruit tree, you pick it, right? It's to be picked. Our fruit is to be picked by others. And so these gifts that he's giving to men is for other people. Verse 9, now this, when he ascended, what does it mean that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. So Jesus Christ, we celebrated on Easter, he resurrection day, he resurrected. He died for our sins, he was buried and he resurrected. But Paul is saying, but what does that mean that he first descended? He first went down to the lower parts of the earth. And this is debated. But when I think of the earth, I think of this as the earth. But he's saying the lower parts of the earth. Now you can figure out what that is. I personally believe that's the realm of the dead, of death. But he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens. So not only did he go to the lower parts of the earth, but he also ascended higher than all the heavens. And he came to fill all things. And so Jesus Christ, no matter where we are in our life, can meet us there. And that's what he does. He met every one of us where we were in our life. And he calls us into himself and he sets us free. One of the things that I think of when I think of that reality of that, not only his incarnation coming to heaven and also his ascension, but that he fills all things. That there's been times in my life, you know, there was some years ago, probably 10 years ago, I came out of, as many of you guys know, I almost lost everything. My body shut down. I couldn't do anything. I had a lot of things placed in my identity in this world, and I was just losing it. So my mind snapped. I couldn't take it. I literally went pretty much almost crazy. And so about 3 years out of that, I got saved during that. 3 years out of that, I'm talking to this guy, and it was a mentor of mine. So it was somebody that I trusted, you know, and he was a great guy. He didn't do anything wrong, but he was just sharing some things that were really all over, you know, and it wasn't bad. What he was sharing was great. Even to this day, I'm like, wow, that's a great truth. But I took that truth and went so crazy with that truth. I just focused in on that one truth, and I got so myopic. I got so micro in looking at it and just, and because of what my background or what I came out of, I was still kind of, Lord was still kind of helping me to walk this life out, to know what he's, you know, he saved me from sin, but then to walk that out. And I remember, I just started going crazy. Like I was in a house with these people as I was recovering and getting better and healing. And I literally felt, I don't know if any of you guys ever felt this way, but I've literally felt a million or a billion miles away from every soul on earth. My body was almost left. I felt like nobody knew anything about me. Nobody knew where I was. Nobody knew what I was going through. I was the only one. I felt so alone, so out there. And I remember the Holy Spirit just reminded me, he says, yeah, but I'm here. And I just started praying, Lord, I thank you that you're with me. I thank you never forsake me. I thank you that you're here. But this reality that even he went down to the depths. And I remember thinking that what he took me out of. He took me out of the depths. And many of us, if we've been in sin, realize, or if we've been taken out of sin, we realize that there was a depth to it. But when I realized that Christ did that, it just did something for me. The next day I get up, I'm all shoveled. I didn't know what was going on. I was so out of it. All I could do was put one foot in front of the other. I went to a guy who was cancer treatment, so we went down to the cafeteria in the hospital. And I remember I grabbed a sandwich, and I remember I walked over, and I was going to go bring it for the guy. And I went to, and I had mine too, and I dropped it. And I remember just staring at it like it dropped. What am I going to do? Like I had no hope. Like I had hope, but I had nothing in myself, anything. I remember just staring at that thing down there, and he's sitting down, an older guy. I'm just staring at it, and all of a sudden I hear this voice. What did you have? I think it was like a turkey. I said, a turkey. And he goes, okay. And I just sat there and stared at it. I was just so gone. I was just life, not just that occasion, but just tons of life. And I remember I got this thing on the side of my hand. He just placed it in my hand. And all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me and he says, I'm here with you. Wherever you go, I'm there with you. And I remember only seeing the backside of this person, and they walked out of the cafeteria, and I go, Lord says, I'm here with you. Keep walking. And so that day I went through it, and it took about 2-3 days and I came out of it. But he's everywhere. Wherever we find ourselves today, he's there. He descended and he also ascended. He fills all things. And as his kids, he never will leave us and forsake us. If we've given our lives to him, we have the assurance. If we made him our Lord, we have the assurance that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Let's go into verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles and prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. God blesses the office. So we look at these, you know, all these different offices, I guess one could say. God honors the office. So when one is placed in an office, they're a pastor, evangelist, a teacher, other things. God blesses the office. God honors the office. And so God deals a lot with the people, especially myself, even just today, just teaching the word to you. I come under a greater condemnation. So I take great heed to what I'm saying to you, and I take it under great reverence because I'm held to a greater, higher standard than just people hearing. And so I have to make sure that what I'm saying, I have brought it before the Lord, and that I've worked it out with him to the best of my ability, and just leave the rest in his hands and have his way with me. But he honors just those places. Now the apostle is just one who he's one who's sent, where one who has seen Jesus, he witnessed Jesus's resurrection, and Jesus sent them out. So they're the 12 apostles, right? And so in the early church, the as we read in Ephesians before. The church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So the church is built off of the teachings, off of the scriptures, the prophets in the old, the apostles in the new, the prophets in the new. We're built. Our foundation is built off of Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. But from that place, we're built on the apostles and the prophets. So they were the first. And even today, I was over in Africa, and there's men dying over there. The ministry that was a part of, and they're going into the hardest of places, Afghanistan. They're going into Somalia, in a lot of places. And I would call that an apostolic ministry. They're going into a place. They're kind of just setting up things. They're missionaries, but then also a prophet, one who speaks forth, speaks direct revelation from God. A gift of edifying, exhortation, and comfort. The Bible says that, the Old Testament prophets, there were. But there's also today, you know, I don't know where I sit on all this exactly, so I won't go into too great detail on that. But I will say that there is the gift of prophecy today. Paul was very clear of it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so there is a gift of prophecy, and that's for edification, exhortation, and comfort for the body, that the body would be built up by the Lord Jesus Christ through his people. The evangelists, bringer of good news. They're the ones that you hear heralding the same message all the time, right? They at times can get called like, you guys have the same message. Like, why don't you give something different? Well, they're giving the gospel. They're giving the message of salvation. They're declaring the law. They're declaring, they're declaring why we need Jesus Christ, and to bring them into a relationship with Jesus Christ, uses the vessel. And so they're looking to win souls to Christ. It's all of our heart, but there's some in the office of that. Pastor and teacher, those seem separate, but they are also very, very closely related. And Paul even says some pastor and teachers, but also they're very closely related in their, especially a pastor more or less has to be a teacher. And all of us to some degree have to be able to teach if we're servants of the Lord. But a pastor is a shepherd. He watches over and protects. There's a lot of things out there in this world that we can think our hearts can deceive us, and we can go down those paths, and pretty soon we're stuck and we're in bondage. And the pastor's job, one of the pastor's job, is to protect the flock from outcoming wolves, things that come in that would try to disrupt unity that we already have in Jesus Christ and try to disrupt that. But it's also to feed the flock. To be tender, but also have authority, you know, authority to correct, authority to guide, but also tender, to have an inroad into their heart, you know, and when you have an inroad into your heart, you know that you can get hurt often, but a pastor is one that allows people into their life and is willing to take the hits, even as Oswald Chambers says, sometimes we have to be a doormat. Now, that could be taken many different ways, so don't go too crazy with that, because there's some people that have lived that way, don't live that way in the generality sense. But there's sometimes we have to just take the hits and show mercy and just pray for them and love them and correct when needed, what that looks like. But we're all called in some ways to be a shepherd. You got kids, you're on the job site, you're on the workforce. We're all called. You're a disciple maker. All of us are in the body of Christ. We're called to shepherd in some degree. We're called to disciple people and help to guide them in their way. Disciple them to Christ sometimes, and then disciple them after Christ, after they come to know the Lord. And that could just be planting seeds, you know. Teachers just teach the scriptures, teach the scriptures. Both help to nurture and guide towards maturity. So that's the offices, and God honors that, you know. And wherever God's called you to be there. We're going to get into that. But for me, I didn't put myself here. In all honesty, I did not put myself here. I sought the Lord. I came. I sought the Lord. I fasted and I prayed. Just like, Lord, what would you have? I want to be obedient. I want to live a life of obedience. I want to live a life of obedience that where other people can see Christ and they can be brought into a relationship with him and find freedom and everlasting life. Let's go into verse 12. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This is kind of a hitch ping in this a little bit. This is kind of a theme. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. So the equipping of the saints would be pastors, teachers, evangelists, you know, those who are sent, the prophetic, you know, it's for the equipping of the saints, but it's also when they're equipped, it's to do the work of the ministry. So often in our country, I think we become a consumer mentality. You have this consumer mentality. We come to church, what can church give to me? Instead of saying, Christ, you've called me to serve you, not to just receive all the time, but you've called me to be a vessel and a conduit of the very thing that you've given me. Freely have given, freely receive, or freely received, freely now give. And so there's this, we receive and then we give. And it's this constant rhythm of life that we live. And D.L. Moody said, it's better to put 10 men to work than to do the work of 10 men. I'd rather do what he just said there, because I've done the other way. I've been that strong, that man that says, I can do it. You know, that bravado that says, I can do it. I'm a man. I can't let anybody see my weakness. No. The reality is we're a body. We're hands, eyes, ears, feet, nose. We all have parts to play. Not one of us is greater than another. We all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all stand the same before the cross. And the same blood washes you and it washes me. So just because there's different places in the body of Christ, whatever that may look like, we're all equal before the eyes of God. And so therefore, we are to serve him and therefore use our gifts amongst ourselves. And it's for the edifying of the body of Christ. Just an interesting thought here. Look at that word equipping. Verse 12. It's interesting. The root is mend. The root word of that is to mend what is broken. It could be complete what is unfinished. Now we at this gathering of believers, this church here, if you look at our look at the wall there, the statement of this church is to teach. You can see it on the, kind of hard to see, but you can see it on the glass there. It says to teach, to reach, to mend, and to send. So the those that are over us in the Lord are to help mend us, to teach us, and to help mend us so that we can be whole, we can be set free. Many times in the body of Christ, we think we're free, and we're really not free. Free is free. I mean, free is free. Jesus didn't call us. Call us to be save us in our sins. He called us to save us from our sins. You know, so he wants to set us free. But it's interesting. Outside of Scripture, that word is also used for setting a bone. Anybody ever have a bone set in here? Oh yeah, hurts. I never did. I broke a lot of bones. Most in all my family, I'm told. That's stories for another time. But setting bones, it's painful. When you have to break a bone and then reset it, even that hurts. That hurts. Sometimes we're living our life in such a way where we've built this kingdom or we've built this comfort in our life, and we've pushed people away, or we've just went to here because it's a comfort for us. We built this nice, comfortable place in life, and don't touch me. Don't touch my life. In the body of Christ, we can't say that. As born-again believers, we say, Jesus Christ, you are my life. You have full access to every area of my life. And so sometimes in the mending process or in this equipping process, there's a breaking that happens in us, in our souls, that things have to break off of us so that they can be healed, or break in us so that they can fully be healed and put right. And sometimes that's painful and it hurts. It's also could be used in outside Scripture, but in that same context, in that time, for that same word, a root word, outfitting a ship. That means like the hull of the ship, and then you're putting all these intricacies in that ship and making it so it'll go well in the sea. It'll operate well in the sea. Also a supplying an army. You're supplying an army with what they need to go out. So those are different ways. And I really like that equipping, setting a bone imagery, because of the reality that sometimes it hurts. I've had some brothers in the faith come up to me and correct me and stuff. And it hurt. It hurt. And if I was, and I have, so don't get me wrong, I've gotten a little bristled. But then I have to remember, dead men don't speak. And if I've given my life to the Lord, I no longer live, as Paul said. It's Christ that now lives through me. And so I don't get a say in what comes at me or what doesn't. God's sovereign. I get to look to him and say, God, you're sovereign. You're doing something in this. Help me. So that breaking of bones sometimes hurts. That change of our life that we've lived in for so long hurts. But it's needed to bring the life that God's called us to. The apostles didn't die because they seen somebody. Die the horrible deaths because they seen somebody that lived the life and just declared the things, and they seen the things, because it's all a hoax. There's a life in Jesus Christ here, and there's a life that's to come. That we put off this body and we be in the fullness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's just an outline of that word. But it's also to do the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the building up of the body of Christ to do that work. We are not called to do it all ourselves. If we do, it just won't work because we're not created for that. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Unity is that we have the shared trust we have in Christ. We live from faith to faith, moment by moment, day by day. It's our shared trust in Jesus Christ, that unity. A.W. Tozer put it this way. I might get it wrong. Somebody can look it up real quick. I don't know, but just hold on. Never mind. You don't have to look it up. But he's the 100 pianos. He said if 100 pianos are all tuned to the same fork, they are in heart nearer to each other than they would be seeking unity conscience. Or I don't remember exactly how it was, so just scrap that. Let's not go there. You can look it up later. Look up 100 pianos by A.W. Tozer. 100 pianos. I was going to write it down. I'm like, I don't need it. Shame on me, I guess. But anyways, it's when we look to Christ and we're all looking to one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, we actually become heart nearer to each other than we ever would trying to please everybody else and try to do everything that everybody wants us to do and do all this. And now there's an aspect too of that, so don't get me wrong. But when we're looking to Christ, he knows the best for everyone. He knows the best for me, he knows the best for you, and he knows what every one of us need. And it brings us together in unity, and there's blessing where there's unity. Knowledge. He said, knowledge of the Son of Man. This is the knowing of the person, not just the facts. So the office, those that are in the body that help us, that teach us, that shepherd us, that have evangelized us even, are just those brothers in the faith, those prophetic voices. They help to bring us into this place of knowing the Lord, knowing him, and not just having a bunch of intellectual facts that won't get us far if they're not motivated by action also. But it's to bring us to unity. It's to bring us to this place of unity in the Lord. But also, it's to mature us in the Lord. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children. Go back to verse 13. He wants us to bring us into, it says that, to a perfect man. That's a mature man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's where our life is, to take on this idea of walking as the Lord walked. The Lord tells us to do something, we do it. You know, it's this heart posture of just as he walked, we are too to walk, as John says. But let's go into verse 14. That we should be no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. We should no longer be children. When children are young, they grow in info. They're not just smart right off the bat. I thought I was smart when I was 15, but might have been a teenager at that time, right? But a children, they grow in info. They grow in knowledge. They grow. Their parents teach them. Those influences around them, they teach them these different ways. But as children, they grow and they exercise that knowledge, whether it's right or wrong. But they grow convictions in those places, right? And they get a greater grasp on what they were taught. And so as we're taught, whether it's good or bad, and hopefully from the Word of God, it should be good and edifying and bring us closer to the Lord. But as we're taught rightly, we will start to have convictions. We won't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. When I first got saved, I got saved by a TV evangelist. I didn't get saved by an evangelist. I didn't get saved by a parent or anything. You know, I got saved by a TV evangelist. So I went out and I got involved in New Age stuff, all kinds of stuff for a few years, because I wasn't rooted and grounded in the scriptures and taught them like I should have been. But there's many people out there that want to trick us. There's a lot of people out there that want to draw them to themselves rather than to Christ. That doesn't do anything. That doesn't honor God. That doesn't bring people closer to the Lord, to freedom, and then, you know, to have that eternal life. You know, so when we submit to one another, we're also called to submit to those who lead over us, those who rule over us. There's a safety in it, but there's also a building up of it that we can then see a fake and not go near it and continue to walk a life of freedom. Let's go into verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into all things into him who is the head, Christ. You know, there's still times I find myself struggling to speak the truth in love. You know, there's still times that I shy back. You know, I grew up in a culture, you know, I grew up around drinking a lot. You know, I grew up around drugs a lot. You know, I grew up around that culture. And, you know, I get around, I was just at, you know, the 4th of July, and I had a lot of my bros out there. You know, a lot of guys that I was out there. And a lot of my friends, you know, they've been to prison. They've been to jail. They've seen the backside of a car many times, or, you know, just did stupid things, drinking and all that stuff, you know. But sometimes, you know, I don't know how it'll be taken, you know, because I love them. I love them dearly, you know, but there's been many times I've shared, and there's many of my friends that don't come near me anymore. You know, they see me, and I've just seen them. They'll look at me. I've seen them from afar, and I've shared this before, but they'll look at me and they'll just go, I don't know what they're saying. So don't let me try to put words into their mouths, but I'm just thinking like, I ain't going near that guy. You know, he was one way at one time. Now he's this way, you know, was almost like a Jesus freak. You know, some might say that about me. But we that are set free, you know, that are born again, we're to speak the truth in love. We're to make, if we are the light of the world, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5:14, it says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. If we are the light, which we are in Christ, receive that today. If you've given your life, you're the light. You are the light because Christ lives in you. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. You're no longer your own. Christ is in you. So we're the light. And so when I don't speak the truth or you don't speak the truth in love, we're just simply saying, we're not leading those people out of bondage, out of slavery, and eventually to have a home in the heavens. We're letting them, we're saying, well, we don't really care about you a whole lot. I care more about what you think about me than what will actually bring you ultimate freedom and well-being. And so, you know, one of my biggest prayers for us and for myself is, Lord, just give us a broke, just break our heart for the lost. Give us that boldness to speak the truth in love, patience, kindness, not jamming it down, just speaking the truth. I'm free. You know, Christ has set me free. And how can I not share that with somebody? Shame on me. You know what I mean? I don't mean that in putting myself down, but like, man, we've been given such a great gift. And we have the opportunity to bring other people into that. And that when we do, this is speaking of the body, but also on the outside, for us, we may grow up at all things into him who is the head. That is the very supply. He is the head. We're all the body. We're different parts of this body. And and that head is Christ. So he animates us. He's the animator.
that's
what he said. Yeah, so he animates us, right? And so when we do that, and we do that with one another, because sometimes, you know, we'll go, I can't say that to them, or we're in the middle of a conversation. I've done this many times, and it's like, if I say that, I could get them really bristled. But it's coming from, I don't think it's coming from a bad spot in my heart at all. I just want them to like me. And God says, do you want that? Are you worried more about their feelings or about their well-being? Are you more worried about their feelings, Chris? Or are you more worried about their well-being? Are you more worried about keeping them in the bondage that they're in their life? Or are you more concerned with bringing them into the life that I've created for them, that they have in me already, that they need to see, that they need to enter into? We're already there, but sometimes we have to step up and step in into that. But he has the supply, he has the head. Flourishing. Verse 16. Just this word came to me when I was reading this. Just flourishing. Like a rose that just flourishes, or a rose that just blossoms, or a flower. I won't get into that. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by what every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You know, when we speak the truth in love to one another, you know, we need to be praying for one another, you know, and it's not like you have to do this or else. No, it's not like that. If we love people, we're going to want the best for them. And when we pray for people and we give thanks for those people in our lives, it helps build them up, right? And so when we're speaking the truth, it's not always going to be easy. And sometimes I don't always take it well, but I have to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, was that in me? Regardless of how it was said, was that in me? And again, we need to be gracious. We need to be praying for them. We need to be loving. We need to seek the Lord on how to do it. But we need to speak the truth in love so people can find true freedom in life and grow up into Christ, who is the head, our very supply and very life, from whom the whole body, that's us, that's the body of Christ here and around the world, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. It's every one of us. What every one of us supplies and brings to the table, it knits us together. It brings us together, joins us together, according to the effective working by what every part does its share. If you're like me, when I came out of what I came out of, so there was a place in my life. I had some people yesterday tell me some stories about who I was. I don't even remember. I'm so far removed from that guy. I had no idea. I literally was taken back going, are you sure you got the right guy? Honest, I'm not kidding. But as I sat and I thought about it, you know, when I came out of that, I had my life, my identity in so many things, my image, what I had in life, my homes, whatever it was. I had my life so much in that, my job. And when that got stripped from me, when I was in that bed laying there, incapacitated, couldn't do anything, everything was stripped from my life, everything. Fear started entering into my life like never before. I've always had, for years, I had paranoia, fear because of the stuff I was involved in and doing, and stress and anxiety all the time. But this is a whole new level. This is a whole new level. And so during that time when I ended up going to stay and I was being taken care of because I couldn't take care of myself and I was in a hospital bed in a home, you know, I kind of just started flipping out. I was losing everything in my life, just flipping out, man. And I started blocking up the windows in the house. Like if it had shades, I just put the shades down. But if it didn't, I would like grab cardboard and put it in there. I was so fearful. Fear was just gripping my life because I lost everything. I was losing everything. I couldn't even move my body. You know, my body at times would just go into these seizures and crazy. And I would just block up my house. So fear came into me. So when I came out of the Lord was starting to help guide me by His Spirit and just go here. And I'm like, Lord, is this right? Okay. And I'll just go. Or you need to say this. And I would just say it. And I would start freaking out. Like, was that the right thing? Did I do the right thing? You know? And I was just like this piece of ash that I felt like if you blew me, I would be done. I was that was my life was gone. I had nothing left. I literally felt like a piece of ash that if somebody was to blow me, I would be gone. That was it. I just knew that the Lord saved me. And I knew that His love was in me because He showed it to me. A love that I never experienced out of anything I've ever done. And so when I started stepping out and I started to do my share, I started to realize how codependent I was in some ways. I wanted to do more for people so they looked at me a certain way. Or I would kind of try to hold back because I was fearful of what they might think. And it was just like this constant battle of trying to do too much so people would like me and then not doing enough because I was fearful and scared of doing it. And I wasn't doing my share. Now, there was many times I was, but fear just gripped my life. But what the Lord calls all of us to is not to live in fear. He says, I did not give you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. He gave us the spirit of power and love. His love, His power, and then we can display that to others. But when we go out, and to digress a little here, when we go out, we just need to do our share. Here, we need to, you know, within this body, within this congregation or our brothers and sisters right around. When we do our share, we don't go above what the Lord wants us to do and we don't go below it. We just do what the Lord is calling us. And sometimes in seasons, it's not much. It's not much at all. And God says, now it's time to recalculate, recalibrate where you're at in life. I'm taking you back. I'm setting you down for a minute. I'm letting you catch your breath. I'm going to realign some things in your life, and I just want you to do X. That's it. And there's other times where the Lord says, I got all this stuff. And there's those seasons that we're just plowing. We're giving her. And we're feeling like, can I go anymore? And the Lord says, I can. You know, those seasons as well. But that's the Lord calling us. And in that, when we walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh, it's light and easy. Now, it doesn't mean that there's not a challenge in our flesh and that there's not this process of dying daily to ourselves so that Christ can live us, and as Paul said, but it's just doing our share, not going above it and not going beneath it, just doing our share. Maybe that's just changing the garbage. That's it. Maybe it's building walls, right? Maybe it's building all kinds of stuff and doing all kinds of things. Whatever it is, it's just our share. Because one thing I've realized in our life, and I wonder if you realize this in your life, is if I go too much and I do something that God's not calling me to, I get frustrated. I get angry at people. I start looking on everybody else and what they're not doing and saying, how come these people? And I'm just complaining in my heart. I really don't say it out loud. And those that you know me closely, I don't really say it out loud, but I do complain in my heart. I do. I do complain, and I complain out loud too. Don't let me fool you. But when I go above what the Lord's calling me to do, nothing works. My relationships don't flourish. Nothing works. And so if that's you here today, find out what the Lord has for you to do. Don't go above what the Lord's calling you. Don't go below it. Just sit with the Lord and say, Lord, am I doing too much? Or am I doing too little? Or am I taking on things I'm not supposed to? Or am I lagging behind and I'm supposed to be stepping into some places in the body of Christ that I'm not? Think about that. Ponder that. Because the only life that's free is a life of obedience. It's a life of love. It's a life where Christ lives and reigns in us, and it's his life that flows through us. And if we start taking, going to the right or to the left and doing all kinds of other things, it brings bondage, and it doesn't shine. We put a basket on our heads, and it doesn't allow the light to shine for others to come into the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you are a light. You are a beacon. And it brings others into it. And it causes growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. When Christ is our head and we receive the love for him and we're not trying to do everything and we're just doing our share and we're just walking in the rhythm of his grace and his love will fill us and it'll flow through us. And I know for my life, when I start to sense stuff maybe getting off or I'm taking on too much or not doing enough, and the Lord's calling me into something, I can sense it in me. I have to sit back. I have to go by the water. That's what I do. You don't have to do that. That's what I do. I go by the water. I'll sit by the water, listen to the waves, talk to the Lord. I'll go sit in my home, or I'll go for a walk in the woods, and I'll just sit with the Lord and just say, Lord, I'm here. I am. Here I am. I'm tired. I know that I'm doing something that I probably shouldn't be doing, or I'm taking on too much. I don't know what it is, but would you help me here? Because I know your yoke is light, and your yoke is easy, and your burden is light. Thank you. You know, I know that, Lord. I've experienced that a lot in my life, but right now it doesn't feel that way. So would you help me? Would you realign me? Because when we're in that flow and in that relationship, that personal, intimate relationship with the God who created us and that saved us and set us free, washed away every one of our guilty stains, and we stay in that place of his love and what he's done for us on Calvary, and we stay there, his love will fill us and his love will flow through us. And this is a process, you know, and we're all going to miss it at times in different ways. And that's why we cover each other. We protect each other. We love each other. And we speak the truth in love. And we have mercy. We have patience with one another, because God knows every one of us need it. And yours truly up here does as well, you know. So, I was questioning whether I should keep going or not. But I think we can keep going. Verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify on the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness and to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now he goes on to describing somebody apart from Christ. He's making a distinction here, I believe. He says, no longer walk like the rest of the Gentiles, like the rest of the world walks. Don't walk that way. You know, Paul's going to give it at the end in verse 20. We'll just skip there and go back. But it says, but you, in verse 20, have not so learned Christ. He's speaking to the body of Christ. Those who are born again of the Spirit of God, our identity is not in who we were, nor in doing what we were doing. Nor do we go back to that old man and live in that bondage, in that corruption. And so Paul's just describing here, don't go back and live like the old people, like your old life. Don't live like that. Don't live in the bondage. Don't walk. Don't have your manner of life continually line up with the ways of the world and the emptiness of their mind, just the emptiness of their mind, the vanity of their mind, their purposeless mind. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. There's a life in God, a real and vigorous life. He says, don't go back. Don't go back and walk like that because of the ignorance, the lack of knowledge in them, because of the blindness of their heart, their scales on their eyes. The God of this world blinds our eyes apart from Jesus Christ. But in Christ, he opens our eyes. The veil is taken away. And we can see God the Father through Jesus Christ. Who being past feeling, being calloused. I was there. Maybe some of you guys can relate. I was so calloused. Nothing, even foods. Didn't even have any. Past feeling, calloused. Having given themselves over. Other places says God gives them over. Romans 1. Pharaoh, you know, hardened his heart. Or God gave him over, hardened his heart, but he also hardened his own heart. You know, they've given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Lewdness, just strong sexual desire, just unrestrained, just giving themselves over to work all uncleanness with covetousness, just wanting more. I want more. I need more. Those in Christ Jesus can find contentment. We don't need to be always pursuing, pursuing more of this world. Christ is enough. And if you're struggling with that today, I call you, man, sit with him. Ask him to help me. Because Christ is enough. I'll tell you that right now. I went down a lot of drug roads, a lot of drinking roads, a lot of partying, wild living for many years since a young child, or a young teenager. Had business, had homes, had a lot of things. It's empty apart from Jesus Christ. It's empty and it won't get better. It will not get better. But as in the Lord, that's not who we are. And he's telling them, don't walk that way. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 real quick. This is a powerful truth, and I hope and pray that you will see this today. I hope and pray you will see this today. I pray that the scales, if you are struggling today, will be removed and that you will see clearly today. Pray your heart be opened. I know all of us need it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetousness. Drunkards or revilers or extorters will inherit the kingdom of God. Those who live in a manner of life described right there, that live in a manner of life like that, are probably not saved. I hear it often. Once saved, always saved. And I think a better way to say that is if saved, always saved. If saved, always saved. But if you're saved and Christ is your Lord, he's going to go on. Verse 11, this is you today. Do not forget it. No matter where you are in your life, no matter what you're struggling with, no matter the pains, the trials, the pressures from the outside or the pressures from the inside, this is who you are. And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. That means set apart. You were justified. That means you were made righteous through Jesus Christ's righteousness in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of God. If you are born again, you are not those things. Even if you are struggling today, that's not who you are. Hear me today. That's what Paul is saying. That's not who you are. Don't walk that way. If you're struggling with it, realize that's not who you are. A sinner will sin. But Paul always, when he's talking about believers, will point to them as saints. That means those who are bought with the blood of Christ. They're no longer their own. You today are the Lord's. Remember that. You're washed. You're set apart. You're righteous before God. And it sure ain't because of us, right? It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we are as his children. Wherever your struggle is, remember, Jesus bought you with the price. You're not your own. Paul said, it was sin in me. It was interesting he said that. I'll let you ponder that. He said, it was sin in me that was causing me. I didn't want to do these things. It was sin in me. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ who will set me free. It's Jesus Christ. It's his life in us. We are now his children. Let's continue to go on and go back to Ephesians. Chapter 4, in verse 20, it says, but you have not so learned Christ. That's what he's talking about. He didn't say you haven't so learned about Christ. That means you can learn somebody from a distance. He said, learned Christ. This is an intimate relationship. If you're born again today, you know that Christ rearranges, realigns things. God gives you new desires. He sets you free. So often people think because they only smoke a little bit, or they only drink a little bit, or they only eat a little bit, or they only work, or they only sleep around a little bit, or whatever it is, or look at things they shouldn't a little bit. I don't even know where I was going with that. We have not so learned Christ. I don't even know where I was going with that. Obviously, it didn't matter. Verse 21. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man that grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. If indeed you've heard of him and you've been taught by him. If we're in Christ, we've been heard. We've heard about him and been taught in him. And the truth is in Jesus. It's in Jesus Christ. It's not in this book. This book points to a person. This person is the person of Jesus Christ. These are his words to us that are inspired by God for us, but it's in Jesus Christ. This is a person, a personal relationship with God that you put off. That means to put away those old garments, that old life you used to live, that way that still might even call your name at times or tell you who you are. Put that off. Paul's saying, put off those old tattered garments of the old man, that old lifestyle you lived, concerning the former conduct that grows corrupt. If you lived in sin if you weren't born saved at a real young age, you know what it's like to grow corrupt. And if you've lived a long time without Christ, you know what it looks like to go down that path. And Paul's saying, don't. According to the deceitfulness of lust. Lust is deceitful, and that's not just sexual. That's just lust. That's just that unrestrained grasp. He says, deceitful. Lust is, sin's deceitful. Don't put it off. That's not who you are anymore. There's freedom in Jesus Christ. And he's not condemning us in Christ. He's saying, come up. Come up. Get out of it. I'm not condemning you. I'm just calling you out. I've already opened the door. Just receive it. Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That word spirit, that word, what he's kind of getting there to is the governing faculties of our mind, to live autonomically. You know, when I first got saved, you probably could contest to this, you start doing stuff and you're like just living, like you don't even know how to walk when you start walking by faith. Like I did not know how to walk. I felt like a vulnerable, like I said, you could blow me. Like I didn't know how to walk. I was used to settling things with my fists or with my words or just isolating. I didn't know how to walk this life out. You know, I was just crazy. But as I would take in the scriptures, as I would listen to, just the body of Christ and my pastor sharing with me, I started to gain, and I would, as I gained that knowledge, and as we gain that knowledge, we start stepping out in it. We start renewing. Our renewing comes also from just reading the word, but it's also renewing the spirit, the very governing faculties of our mind. As we listen to the word and we step out in it, it starts to renew us, and pretty soon we start doing it autonomically. We don't even realize we're doing it. It's just the way we live life. And people go, how can you do that? I don't know. That's who I am now. We're not that old person. You're struggling today. That's not who you are. That's not who you are. You're a new creation. Be renewed with the word and by obedience. Just step out. God loves you. Step out. He sets you free. Receive it today. Don't live in it. Let the blood wash you, cleanse you, clean you up. You know, be free. That's what he's saying in these verses here. Be free. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. He's saying, put on the new man. Romans chapter, I think it's verse 13 and 14, it says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. That word provision means don't give no thought to the fleshly life you lived. Give no thought to that fleshly life. He said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ is righteous and holy. He says, put on the new life, this new life of righteousness and holiness, and live free. That's your new life today. You're right before the Father. You're holy. If you're struggling today, repent of it. Turn from it. Confess it before God. If you need to, confess it before a brother or sister. But know that when you do and you forsake that thing, you are washed clean. You are made new. And put on true righteousness and holiness. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and walk free. And so just in closing, you know, remember who you are. Don't go back to that old life that Christ has set you free from. Repent of it. Allow God to break your heart for it. If you're in a place today, let God break your heart. Let him break your heart for where you've been. Knowing he's not condemning you and throwing you off to the side, he's convicting you of your sin or whatever it may be. But let go of it. Cast it away. Repent and turn to Christ. And use your giftings to bless others in the body of Christ. The greatest freedom that we can have in the Lord is not looking to ourselves or to our circumstances, but to Christ and how to serve others. That's true freedom in life, you know. And so when we bless others and in time, we do that in faith. We don't always know how to do it, but we just do it in faith. We step out and Christ liberates us. He brings us just into this new life that he's created. We'll find out as we continue to step out in the Lord, we'll continue to know and grow in that knowledge that we were created for this. This is really truly the life. Is it going to be easy? No. No. Not in one sense. It's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. But I'll tell you, living in the world, living in sin was a lot harder. Yeah. Yeah, that was a lot harder. Many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't want to go there. I don't want that life. There's nothing in that life no more. And so as we step out and as we just continue to use our giftings among one another, and we just do our share, just our part. We don't go above or beneath. We just do our part, whatever that is in that season. We will start to see that we're created for this. This is truly the life of the Spirit. And we're going to start to see that God is good, better than we ever imagined. And so, and as we shine light and as we shine bright, we're going to see other people start to come into the light of Jesus Christ as well. It's going to be our actions, but it's also going to be our words. We're getting to that chapter 5. I'm excited for that. But as we shine and just live as lights, man, Christ will do the work. So don't get discouraged, man. If you're fighting today and you're struggling, just look to the Lord, man. He'll set you free. He already has. Just receive it today. Repent, turn from it, allow him to break your heart over it, and live free, man. That's what he wants for us. And so let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your words of exhortation through Paul today for us. Lord, we thank you for the body of Christ, Lord, and those who you have placed in different offices over us, Lord, to help build up your body, that you've done that, Lord. That you place the members in the body where you see fit. And so we thank you, Lord, that you are Lord, we are not. And before the throne, Lord, we're all equals. And so, Lord, we just ask that you'd have your way in us and continue to show us what our share is, Lord, what our portion is. Help us not to go ahead of you or behind you, Lord, to walk with you, to receive your grace daily and your forgiveness. And we thank you for the cross. And so, Lord, empower us. Help us to put on this new man, put off the old, and just walk free. And so, Lord, we thank you for your great blessing today and bless the food to our bodies and just bless our time, Lord. And may it be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.